Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. Hope everybody is having a nice week so far, and I hope everybody has been keeping a close eye on all of the really positive developments for our side, finally. I know if the only thing that people are doing is watching local news or keeping an eye on, you know, the mainstream media, our whole situation might still seem a little bit hopeless, but I'd say we had a pretty big week since my last episode. Things are most definitely moving in our direction almost everywhere you look. Lots and lots to be positive about. We are in a war. Literally, we're in a war for this country. When it comes to battle, when it comes to facing your enemy, positive attitude goes a long way. So that's what we need to have. Now, today I'm going to get into mostly the election audits that will be happening in Georgia. Georgia is going to be big. And I might talk a little bit about some of the simple things that we can do for a better outlook, you know, kind of what I was just talking about. That's if I have time to get to that, we'll see. But mostly we're going to focus on Georgia. First, I want to let you know that I started a channel on the social app Telegram. If you're not on Telegram, that's a really nice little social media platform. There's a ton of conservative channels to follow. Some big name people are on there too. And you can get news, info directly from them. And it's a great way to connect with other patriots around the country, around the world. So I would suggest it. I've been on there as Conservative Roots for a while, following some channels. I haven't really gotten into it too big. And I decided that it would be a good idea for me to have my own. Actually, my mom suggested that I make a channel. And it's actually a good idea because one thing about Telegram is for anybody that likes the podcast here, but maybe isn't thrilled with my schedule lately, that it's been kind of waning. I haven't been able to get as many episodes up as I wanted to. I can get on Telegram and react to something in the news quickly. I can leave type messages, I can leave voice messages, I can make videos, upload those, post links. I mean, it's a way to be a little bit more engaged with you on a more frequent basis, even if it's not as long as a regular podcast episode, just popping in, saying something, taking off again. At least it's something. Keeps us engaged, keeps us informed, lets us share opinions, so I think it's pretty good. So if you're on Telegram or the idea kind of sounds enticing, you can find my channel at Conservative Roots Podcast. You'll see the same logo as you see in my podcast player, so it's kind of hard to miss. And now, I just made the thing last night at like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I haven't posted anything yet. I will soon, maybe tonight. Probably just a greeting because I'd like to get at least a couple of people on there before I start using it regularly, but it sounds like it should be fun. All right, let's start getting into it. Just to recap a little bit, last time I talked a bit about the pipeline hack and how that didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense on a lot of different levels, and also how the Bitcoin market was affected. It's come off of some of the latest lows. It's up around, I think, 5,000 since a couple of days ago. I think it's in the high 30s now, the last time I checked it. And we'll have to watch where cryptos go from here. I'm expecting a lot of volatility, obviously, and I think you'll see I think you're going to see people just buying dips. And no matter what I think of the ultimate future of this kind of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, any of them really, people aren't looking at the current administration and having any kind of sense of ease about the dollar either. You know, you may not be totally enamored with Bitcoin, but you may not be enamored with the economy and Joe Biden and the dollar either. I mean, any one of them could tank. So a lot of people figure, hey, why not Bitcoin? Why not crypto? At least you have a chance of some kind of massive return, you know, in the short term. So people are taking the risk. Obviously, everybody can do what they want with their money. I'm not a financial advisor. Obviously, I just feel personally, looking at everything that's happening out there, that we are, I think we're winning. And I think crypto might be a good short-term to medium-term strategy. If all goes well, I think it might not even exist in the future. That's the thing. I mean, short-term, medium-term, great. Long-term, I don't know. Are people really going to want to be into this if we get the economy back, we win the battle here, America's restored? Is crypto, is it really going to have as big of a place as people are thinking? I have no idea. But hey, that's part of the fun of all this. You know, life is nothing if not a mystery, nothing if not an adventure. So let's see what happens with it. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe we're all going to be using Bitcoin in the future. I don't know, though. Now, the other thing we talked about that had some developments was I talked about the origins of the coronavirus and who I thought was involved. Like I said, to me, it was 100% lab, 100% on purpose, and 100% in cooperation with the Democrat Party. People are coming out now and saying labs and everything else. There's still really nobody out there saying Democrat, but it'll come out. In past episodes, I've talked about Fauci and Gates being involved financially. I talked about Fauci delivering that speech where he predicted that Trump was going to have a major pandemic on his hands. I mean, Fauci must be a clairvoyant or something, right? Maybe he's got a crystal ball. Maybe he's a distant relative of Nostradamus. I don't know. It's tough to guess. But he sure somehow knew without a doubt that a pandemic was on the way. That's a pretty bold prediction, you know? And look at that. He wound up being the guy front and center of it all. Everyone hanging on his every word, doing interviews with all these governors, sitting in these nice leather chairs with all these heads of state. Unbelievable. There he is. He predicted it was on its way. It arrived, and he's the man under the spotlight all over the world. That worked out really well for Fauci, didn't it? Well, again, many of us reported months ago that this was a bioweapon and that there was suspicious funding by these people. And here we are now today with these questions finally being asked by the media. I mean, not so much the regular news. They're starting to jump on board, but they went mostly with the bat soup narrative. But now we see the fight being taken to them directly. Rand Paul, Jim Jordan, they've been grilling Fauci relentlessly, especially Rand Paul. Fauci must absolutely hate Rand Paul. Must hate him. And he got him to admit that his NIH was in on the funding of the Wuhan lab. And every day there's a little more info that spills out about this guy, Gates too. But again, do you notice the timing of all of this? Have you noticed that everything is happening all at once? The audits, the election fraud proof finally coming to light, the origins of the coronavirus and who might be involved, the Democrat media collapse, the nursing home scandal, they're still going after the Cuomos, the total failure of the Democrat Party, all of the policies that they're enacting under Biden that everybody hates, the economy, the inflation, everything, all happening at the exact same time. It's almost like it was part of a plan. In fact, this morning, Trump came out with a statement of his own on the subject over on his website, the desk of Donald Trump. Let's take a look at what our president had to say. Now everybody is agreeing that I was right when I very early on called Wuhan as the source of COVID-19, sometimes referred to as the China virus. To me, it was obvious from the beginning, but I was badly criticized as usual. Now they're all saying he was right. Thank you. Here's the thing. They've always known where this came from. They've always had the intel. That's why he's always been so confident on it. And this is all going to come out as well. Just like the election fraud has finally seen the light of day, and we'll get into Georgia in a bit, they've always known. That's one reason he pushed so hard to call it the China virus all the time. Not just because of the geographic location of where this thing came from, but also to show the intent. Letting you know that it wasn't, a mistake by China, it was an attack by China. Now, I'm sticking to my instinct that the highest levels of the Democrat Party were involved, and if so, and if that does come out, imagine the implications. Imagine right now, if you're a top-level deep stater, a top-level Democrat, you've rigged and stolen an election, and you were involved in a global pandemic. And in both cases, the truth is trickling out more and more and more, seemingly every minute at this point. Every hour, there's something in the news about all of this now. If this all comes out, the Democrat Party will cease to exist. Just done. Finished. There's a broad range of facts, and there's a broad range of what could or could not see the light of day. If it all comes out, the Democrat Party's over. If just some of it comes out, I think they're still so damaged. So many of them are going to be implicated in all this. I think we take over for at least the next 20 years. This is going to be fun to watch. All right, speaking of trickling out and not being able to stop the truth, look how much has happened in Georgia since the last podcast. Arizona began the audit again after their break. They started up again today. Was it today or yesterday? Can't even remember what day it is. The Maricopa Board of Liars and Losers, whatever they call themselves, they've done everything that they can to stop this unsuccessfully. Eventually, they're going to probably have to lawyer up. I think there's going to be trouble for some of them at the end of all this, but we'll see. But the success in Arizona, it reopened the spotlight in Georgia again, almost an uncanny timing again, right? All of a sudden, just kind of as predicted, just like Trump said, he said, like, before even this happened, he said, look at Georgia, and then all of a sudden this exploded. Oh, this is nice. As I'm preparing notes here, shooting at the George Floyd Autonomous Zone on the one-year anniversary of his death in Minnesota. Now, that's odd. I would have thought that that was a gun-free zone. I mean, did they forget to make it a gun-free zone or something? I'm baffled how this could possibly happen. Anyway, onward and upward with the news here. Georgia. As far as the elections go, this was probably top two in terms of importance regarding the fraud. For me, there's two reasons why. I'm not even talking about the actual numbers of votes that got switched or you know, never counted or tossed in a dumpster, whatever, okay? I'm not talking about raw numbers, because raw numbers, I think the title's going to go to Pennsylvania. Here is why Georgia is pretty important in my book. First, Georgia is one of the states where you had a lot of Republican involvement in the steal. I think we're going to see that too over in Arizona, because the Maricopa County Board of Elections, or whatever that little group is called, has a lot of Republicans on it, right? And they are fighting so hard not to be audited, right? That spells complicity. So we've got our own party turning on us in Arizona. That's easy to see. And then we had trouble with the governor too. Remember his name? Is his name Ducey? I think it's Ducey. Didn't want to do anything. Still doesn't. Okay. But Georgia, you're talking about Raffensperger and Kemp, the very governor of the state, going all in with the Democrat Party. Same with the Secretary of State. They did everything that they could to shut down every single inquiry into the fraud. Raffensperger went so far as to record a phone call with Trump, like a little weasel. Remember that? They had financial ties to the Dominion machines. They refused to act on video evidence. They were presented with sworn affidavits, all of it. And Kemp thinks he's running for re-election. I mean, that's just rich. So Georgia was important because we have Republicans, our party, actively working to thwart their own party, their own people, and hand the Democrats the victory. All right, that's what makes Georgia not completely unique, but they did it more than any of the other states. Second thing that makes Georgia extremely important is this: the Senate. The fate of the Senate, the control of the country, hinged on the Georgia special election. It was that feckless Republican doofus, David Perdue. And he faced off against John Ossoff and Kelly Loeffler against Warnock, all right, the Democrat. What a shocker. Using the exact same mail-in voting and the exact same Dominion voting machines and shutting down the voting in the middle of the night again, both Democrats somehow managed to prevail. Now, that, of course, split the Senate 50-50, and it gave the deciding vote in the Senate to Kamala. I like her new name, too. Everybody's calling her Kabbalah now. She's part of the cabal. That's great. Anyway, there's more than just the presidential election hanging in the balance with Georgia, okay? Fraud is fraud. If they prove fraud here, the Senate is once again up for grabs. Kind of a big thing. Now, this down-ticket fraud, it's not unique to Georgia either. There's a lot of states where House seats are called into question. Senate races, even the local positions are all going to be called into question. Serious question. Audited, and then they're going to be found to be fraudulent. It's going to get ugly. I think today I heard there was something like as many as 30 House seats that might be up for grabs if fraud is proven. I mean, 30. That's a tremendous number. Now, this sudden shift to Georgia started with Trump basically talking about Arizona and saying, just watch, it will happen in Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, etc. And so it has. We're also hearing that in Wisconsin, they're going to do a full audit. So how did this start? So a few days ago, the Henry County, Georgia chief judge, his name is Brian J. Amaro, he ordered Fulton County ballots all to be unsealed. Now, this was a batch of 147,000 mail-in ballots, many of which the people that had the sworn affidavit said were put through the counting machines 2 to 3 times to record multiple votes for Biden. So they get the ballot, run it through the machine. Here's one for Biden. Run it through the machine again. Same ballot. 2 for Biden. Yeah, let's go for a third. Why not? Right? I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. The judge ordered the parties to appear at the ballot storage location at 10 a.m. on May 28th. The November 2020 ballots will be scanned at 600 DPI or higher. This is from the CD Media. In an ongoing hearing, Henry County, Georgia judge, the Honorable Brian J. Amaro, may give access to the plaintiffs to the physical mail-in ballots in Fulton County, which could show massive election fraud in Georgia during the 2020 presidential election cycle and the follow-on runoff that decided control of the U.S. Senate for the Democrat Party, leading to full control of the American government. In the hearing, lawyers for VoterGeorgia.org described large discrepancies, 21%, between the number of ballot batches reported by the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who certified the election, that's going to come back to haunt him, and the number of ballot batches actually provided by court-ordered access in the previous April hearing in the case. VoterGeorgia.org has been examining the ballot images at a low resolution since the hearing in April and declared they need the actual physical ballots to understand the number of counterfeit ballots certified. Fulton County attorneys pushed for a sampling of the ballots instead of access to all of the ballots. They particularly objected to access to physical ballots. Fulton County attorneys also objected to expert witnesses testifying the number of ballot batches certified by Secretary of State Raffensperger in the previous risk-limiting audit were significantly different from the actual number of ballot image batches that were provided by state and county officials in court-ordered discovery in April. Shockingly, attorneys for Fulton County declared the county has no control over its election tabulation process. A high number of ballots appeared to have been counted twice, declared the expert witness. There was an error rate in the batch data of 21%. The risk-limiting audits conducted previously in the state of Georgia by Secretary of State Raffensperger were shown in today's hearing to be severely compromised. What a friggin' surprise. The Georgia Attorney General's office testified citizens have no right to audit the vote. The results of ballot analysis in this case could show the U.S. Senate and the presidency of the United States were fraudulently certified. Absolutely. Now, right now, they have 6 sworn affidavits from election witnesses, okay? The people right there on the ground that were working the election, that more than 30,000 of these 147,000 mail-in ballots that are going to be looked at are complete frauds. Printed ballots, they aren't official. Somebody came in, dumped them late at night in the process. I mean, with that info from the affidavits and knowing what we know now about the past allegations, let's go back to the statement by the judge talking about scanning them in at 600 DPI or higher. What are they looking for scanning in at that high of a resolution? Let me rephrase that a little bit. What are they going to prove that they already know is there? That's why he's asking for this. Let's start with the actual paper itself, okay? You have an election. You have official ballots that need to be printed out, mailed to people. Companies are hired to do that by the government. Election ballots are going to have a unique, almost like a DNA or a fingerprint because they're made of paper. Talking about the mail-in ballots. You've all seen movies, maybe crime movies, where they do tests on paper to see, you know, when something was printed to see if it's legitimate or a fraud. maybe watching, what was that show out in Vegas? The pawn shop, Pawn Stars. Okay. Remember sometimes somebody would bring in a document, they thought it was like centuries old, and the expert would come in, he'd look at the paper, he'd study it, be, no, sorry, this paper was printed in the 20th century. It's new. It's not the same formula, not the same, you know, type of paper. Because paper is made from trees, you know, the pulp, the process, it's all going to leave a distinct makeup and a pattern in the paper. Ballots that aren't coming from the official ballot manufacturer, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb, right? Just a little bit of scrutiny and they're going to be able to tell. Another thing that they're going to be looking for is folds in the paper, right? These are mail-in ballots. You had election workers on election night the next day screaming to the media after the election, right, that tons of the ballots that they saw were in perfect condition. No folds, no creases, like they just came off a printer, okay? That's impossible. The state sends out the ballots, and you know, even if they were to, let's pretend that the state sent you a giant envelope where the ballot didn't get folded, and it didn't get folded in, you know, in stuffed into your mailbox or anything like that. All of the return envelopes were a lot smaller. You had to fold up the thing. In fact, it was even in New Jersey, there was like a seal. You had to fold up your ballot a certain way and put it into the envelope and then fold that thing over a certain way. It was a little bit of a process, okay? Once you crease paper like that, even if you're able to smooth it out so it's not folded anymore, that crease, it doesn't just cease to exist. It's always there. It's going to be able to be seen under scrutiny when they scan it. You could even see it usually with the naked eye, but even if not, they can see it when they scan it. They can see it under a magnifying glass, anything. It's going to be easy to find. If the people in the affidavits aren't lying, which would be a dangerous thing to do unless you want to go to jail, they are going to find tons of ballots that have not actually been mailed. And given that these are supposedly mail-in ballots, that's going to be a problem. And guess who these mail-in ballots that are not going to have the creases all voted for? What a mystery, right? Another thing that they're going to look at under this scan is how was the actual ballot filled out? Now, here's a good example of what they're going to be looking for. I'm guessing most of you have played the lottery, like the pick six. Now, sometimes you go in, you just ask the machine to pick it, fine. Other times you want to fill out your own numbers. Maybe you got lucky numbers, whatever, right? So you get the pencil or the pen, they hand you the paper, you walk over to the side and you start filling out your numbers, okay? Have you ever looked at your marks? Are they all exactly the same? No, of course not. Well, the contention with the mail-in ballots is that a lot of them have absolutely perfect circles, perfectly in line with the borders of the circles on the ballots. More than that, the marks don't appear to be from a ballpoint pen or pencil. So it's not ink and it's not pencil. It appears to be printer-generated ink. Uh-oh. So much to look into. Now, here's the best thing for me, I think. This really defies all logic. I mean, as if the previous thing wasn't enough, right, with the non-folds and all that. They took a sample of 950 military ballots in Georgia, right, the mail-ins. All 950 votes went to Joe Biden, zero for Trump. From the military. The military who Trump rebuilt, praised on a daily basis, the ones he gave respect to, the military who goes to the VA hospitals that Trump completely turned around from being one of the worst places that you could go to having an approval rating, a satisfaction rating over 90% and well into the 90s. Bringing our troops home from the Middle East. They supposedly gave not a single vote to Trump in over a 950 ballot sample. All went to Biden. They supposedly voted for Biden. If you remember at that speech, I think it was a year ago, I can't remember when it was, called them a bunch of dumb bastards. You remember that? And then just recently called the graduating class dull. I think he threw in a come on, man, too, but I'm not sure. Now, if that wasn't enough, if that ridiculous idea that Trump got zero military votes, if that wasn't nuts enough, here's the best part. The ballot numbers were in sequential order, like a checkbook, right? Like, oh, look, we've got military absentee ballots numbered 1000 through 1995 here in perfect order. This is what the Democrat Party, Raffensperger, Kemp, all these fools want you to believe, that ballots were sent all over to Georgia military personnel who were abroad, right? And that all of them not only voted for Biden, but that all of these ballots were then mailed back in sequential order, arrived in sequential order, and were counted and stored that way. And you are a conspiracy theorist for questioning the results of the 2020 election. You're crazy. You need to move on, right? Two Republican senators right now, they're calling for the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, to be present during the audit. They want that for transparency. That's fine. I don't really trust them, though, to be honest with you, not to be involved in the actual investigation. If they want to stand there and make sure that nothing, you know, no funny business is going on, that's fine. They ran a quick investigation of signature validations, if I remember correctly, right after the election. In the absentee ballots, a bunch of people were saying, we've got evidence here, we've got proof that we've got a ton of signatures, and they're all the same signature. It's all the same handwriting. You can totally tell. And it's meaning that somebody sat there from the Democrat Party, were picking out ballots and filling in names, probably the dead people. They probably had the list of dead people or whatever, and they're just writing the names, and the handwriting was a total match. They, of course, did this quick little thing and said, nothing to see here. So I don't trust them. But we do have Senator Burt Jones saying that he is going to go after Kemp and press Kemp to hold a special session to start decertifying the election if the audit finds the fraud and if the judge confirms it. We're at the point right now where this is starting to get out of their control. Now, Trump also weighed in on some of this today, too. A new Ipsos Reuters poll, beliefs among Republicans shows 53% believe Donald Trump is the true president. And then he says in parentheses, I always knew America was smart. 2020 election was tainted, 56%. The election was stolen and rigged, 61%. Now, these numbers are, I think, made up. I think it's much higher because it doesn't make any sense that the election was stolen and rigged is 61%. And that the election was tainted is only at 56. That makes no sense whatsoever. It's way more than 61%. I haven't met a Republican, even in blue New Jersey, that doesn't think that the whole thing was a fix. In fact, a lot of my Democrat friends are saying the same. Okay? We aren't stupid. The thing we need to take away from all of this right now is that everything is finally starting to move in our direction. I know for a while there was, you know, one defeat, seemingly a defeat, one after the other, one disappointment after the other. But if you look around you, if you look at the news, the pendulum is starting to swing back. What we all should do right now is not let up. Don't let other people handle all this. What is going on with my voice today? Obviously, we can't all be, you know, ballot auditors. We can't be right there doing this. But in the states where audits are about to happen or might happen, bother the hell out of your elected officials, right? Make them know you're not going to stand for anything other than a full, honest accounting of the election. You're not going to allow some ridiculous Democrat company to come in and do the audit. You know what happened. You're not sitting back and being silent anymore. And anybody who stands by that and doesn't support the truth and tries to ram this through, that they're going to be replaced in office. Start fighting back at the local level on everything that the liberal agenda is trying to do. Mandates, your schools being taken over. In fact, I'm kind of running out of time, so I think that's going to be the next thing that I do. And I'll maybe start touching on that subject too in Telegram, start talking about little ways every day that things we can do to fight back. I'll probably post a few things on there tonight. maybe ease into that, and hopefully it'll eventually grow into a nice little community. But I'm not going to be posting a ton on Telegram until I start getting some people checking it out and everything. So I don't want to just be talking to myself. All right, that's it for today. All eyes on Maricopa for now, and very, very soon, Georgia. Wait until they get a load of Pennsylvania. What a mess that place is. In terms of sheer numbers, Pennsylvania is going to blow everyone away. I mean, I think even Democrats in this country are going to be shocked. When the truth finally comes out in Pennsylvania, it's going to blow people's minds. The corruption of the Democrat Party. All right, that's it. Have a good night. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. If you know people who would like it, let them know. Tell them about the Telegram, and I will be back soon to talk to you again. Take care.